The following is a presentation of Remnant. Light of the
world. Hey, this is Jeremiah from Remnant Church. Thanks for listening to us online. You know, we want you to be encouraged and filled with hope through your experience as you listen in. This life can be complicated, even confusing, but it's our hope that you catch a glimpse of God's unconditional love for you and His purpose for your life. Thanks for listening in.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jeremiah Vick.
How do you celebrate Christmas?
Oh, all month long.
Baked dinner with lots of presents.
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 Go to church.
I go into church and be with my friends and family.
We read the story from Luke.
Cut down a Christmas tree and decorate it.
And we like to be with family and eat lots of good food.
Lots of food.
Mashed potatoes.
Turkey.
Homemade tamales.
Brisket.
We still like the gifts and stuff like that for the children.
We open presents on Christmas Day, and then the next day we leave to go to Grandma's house.
With family and friends and Christmas Eve service at church.
The perfect gift.
Best gift?
Anything that involves Star Wars.
Just good health and fun times.
Season tickets to the New York Yankees.
Anything from the heart.
My kids. Kids for Christmas.
Having kids or getting to see them?
No, just getting to be with them. I don't need no more.
I want to get a Game Boy.
Concert tickets.
Money.
Money.
Lots of money.
A Barbie.
A four-wheeler.
A boat.
A new truck.
A brand new Mercedes.
Some new motorcycle accessory.
World peace.
Just for the family to be together and everybody be happy.
My mom and dad getting back together.
When I had to get out of jail and quit drinking.
So why do we celebrate Christmas?
Well, probably it's about the day Jesus was born.
That you get to celebrate with your family and see everybody.
Merry Christmas, Jesus' mother, or something.
It's actually Christ's birthday is what it is.
The three kings came out to the stables to see him.
Actually, I was born and raised a Jehovah's Witness, so I never got to celebrate Christmas.
I think it's a time to really look at what you've gotten over the year and what you can give for the next year.
And it is an age-old tradition, so we like to uphold that tradition.
Well, it's like a lot of people have a lot of different ideas of what Christmas is all about, ways to celebrate Christmas. But what would Christmas be without the presents? Now, the spiritual answer would be Christmas would still be Christmas. Well, let's face it. I mean, what would it be like if we weren't giving each other stuff and receiving stuff? Mostly receiving. What would it be like? I mean, would Christmas just kind of fall in with the other holidays that we don't exchange gifts? I've thought about that, and in this series, we want to unwrap Christmas and basically talk about the gifts that God's given us through Christmas. And we're hoping that it'll be some things that you've never really thought about before. And of course, as long as we're able to focus on the Christmas story and what it means to us, but within that, understanding that so much more than just a holiday was instituted so long ago. Let's face it, nobody wants a hand-me-down, and the title of my message this morning is God's Hand-Me-Downs. But when God hands you down something, it's like having a really rich uncle hand you down something, like a brand new car or something like that. So when we talk about God's hand-me-downs, these are things that are very important and very valuable. I remember as a kid, my grandparents would come over on Christmas Eve, and they would bring presents, and sometimes other relatives would come over. And there was a particular relative that would always come over, and I always knew what I was going to get from this particular relative, and I won't say who it is because they might listen to the podcast, but I always knew what I was going to get. It was going to be socks or, yes, which nowadays, you know, a welcome gift, but when you're a kid and you open your Christmas present and it's a pair of socks and your brother opens his Christmas present and it's Hungry Hungry Hippo, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, they're playing the game over here, and I'm over here putting my socks on. So anyway, but there was one particular relative, and it was kind of a joke in the family. We would get the present, and we knew exactly what it was going to be. You know, it was real flexible and soft. You used to actually just get the present and use it as a pillow. I always knew what was in that, and I would open it up, and it would be some clothing item. And I was always like, man, that's not what Christmas is all about. Christmas is about getting some fun stuff so that Christmas morning there's like noises and lights and you can annoy your parents and stuff like that. And so we didn't necessarily get that with the clothes, but every once in a while I would get something that looked like it had been worn before. Curious. Maybe Santa's elves were trying something on. I don't know. Every once in a while, it looked like a hand-me-down, and I would say to myself, this is last year's Christmas present, and somebody else didn't want it. So getting clothes for Christmas versus the G.I. Joe action figure, not always the best thing when you're a little kid, but Christmas becomes a big focus on the gift. And what is the gift? In our family, we had a tradition where you would open a Christmas present on Christmas Eve. I don't know if your family does that. You know, you wouldn't open everything on Christmas. You'd pick one gift out, and it just happened to be the one that you were shaking all week and the one that you know, maybe had a slight tear in the corner. I don't know how that happened. I mean, presents bump together and stuff happens. That present just kind of would get set off to the side a little bit, and then Christmas Eve, you'd grab that particular one and open it up, and usually you somehow magically knew what was in there. But that was fun with our family, getting to open a present on Christmas Eve. It was like the sneak preview of what was going to happen the next morning. Now, my parents always did this thing where we had presents under the tree that were from mom and dad and from aunts and uncles and grandparents. But then also, there were presents that appeared in the night. And there were several times where I was determined as a child that I was going to stay up all night and find out exactly who was putting those presents in the living room. I was going to find out. And I remember laying in bed many Christmas Eves with my eyes wide open. Didn't want to shut them because I knew if I shut them, I was going to fall asleep. And then the next thing I know, boom, it was morning. And I missed it again. Next year, maybe next year. I kept telling myself, Christmas, as a kid, I just couldn't imagine Christmas without the giving and receiving of presents. Well, with the first Christmas, God gave us some awesome things. And we're hoping through this series that we can open those gifts and we can look at them and take a really good, close look at them and realize how precious they are and how important they are. Let's pray and ask God to bless our time this morning. Father, thank you so much for Christmas season and what all it means to us, God. And I know that it's so easy for us to commercialize this holiday and to make it all about presents. And God, we know that the ultimate gift that you gave us was your son, Jesus, and we're so grateful for that. God, but there's so much more that we receive because of Christmas. And I just pray, Father, that as we, over the next couple weeks, as we just open our minds and open our hearts to the things that you want to show us, God, please teach us some things. Help us to recognize that this truly is the greatest event in history. Thanks, God, for loving us. And now as I speak, Father, I pray that you would speak through me. Don't let these be my words, but let them be your words. Thanks, Father. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen. So we're looking at the Christmas story from Luke chapter 2. And, you know, it'd be really hard to get through Christmas without reading this story. And I love it. You should read the thing that I read that Jerry wrote about a Christmas series he did. I can't remember the exact wording, but he describes the shepherds as being some teenagers up on a hillside that had an extraterrestrial experience. Because, you know, these kids, it's like it's the old-time version of UFO sightings, right? I mean, they go out and they're telling everybody there was a great light in the sky, and, you know, you have to believe me. And I'm sure some people were like, yeah, uh-huh, that happened to my cousin, too. That's why he's in the asylum, you know? And so you can imagine these guys trying to convince people that this really happened. So let me read verses 8 through 11 of Luke chapter 2, and then we'll get into... Oh, real quick. Did I skip something? I did. I was going to mention what the hand-me-downs were. There they are, joy and peace. Now, we're going to focus on these two things, and lucky for you, I guess, there's only 2 points to my message this morning. The first is about joy, and the second is about, peace. How'd you know? So anyway, that's what we're talking about this morning. Let's read verses 8 through 11. It says, that night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified. That might be the whole reason we compare it to a UFO sighting. But the angel reassured them, it says, don't be afraid. He said, I will bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. I want to stop right there and just talk about this first part. The angels, first of all, have to calm the shepherds down. And Jerry had mentioned that the shepherds were teenagers, and that's really not far from the truth, because for the most part, the guys that were out there tending the sheep were usually the sons of the people that owned the sheep. And so many times they were young men that were out there tending the sheep. And so you can imagine these young guys out on the hillside. I love this cartoon. I think I've shared with you before. I used to have this cartoon of some shepherds on a hillside, and the first box of the cartoons has these shepherds standing around, and one of them's all, "Nothing ever happens," you know, and then the next thing it's like, boom, all this bright light in the sky. And you can just imagine these guys out there thinking, man, life is so boring and sheep are so smelly, and I would rather be doing anything else. You know, had they known it was Christmas Eve, they might have gotten out of tending sheep that night. But so there they are, out in the middle of nowhere, and the angels appear to them, these messengers from God. Thursday night we talked about how the word or the name angel actually means a messenger. And so these guys were bringing a message. And first of all, they say, "Don't be afraid." It's too late. These guys are just scared. He says, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people." And so I want you to realize something, and this is the first point. Here's the gift of joy. Joy is handed down to the ordinary. So here you have some ordinary, average guys that are shepherds. You have these guys just going about their, you know, maybe they thought boring lives. Just kind of going through the motions, doing the thing that they do night after night, day after day, out there taking care of the sheep. And suddenly, joy is handed to them. The greatest gift that they've ever received is handed to them, and they're caught up right in the middle of just the ordinary, average life. And you know what? To me, this is such an incredible insight, because we can be going along in our average, ordinary life thinking that there's nothing special about us, and maybe even getting that attitude of nothing ever happens to me. And the moment we begin that relationship with God, the moment we discover who God is and what He has for us, our life is instantly flooded with joy. It's amazing. God's gift of joy is available to you regardless of your circumstance or status. Now, I say regardless of your circumstance or status, because here's these guys that are just doing their everyday job. Nothing flamboyant about their circumstance. Certainly nothing to brag about. What about their status? These obviously are not the wealthiest guys. I mean, if they're wealthy, they probably would be indoors somewhere having somebody else do their work for them. But here these guys are, maybe a lowly status and circumstance just being average and ordinary, and God's gift of joy is available to them. It's so amazing. I love the fact that God is not a respecter of persons, as the book of James says. That God sees each and every one of us the same. He loves each and every one of us the same. And God's gift of joy is available to every single person. It's incredible. Psalm 16:11 says, "You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." And here we have David describing what it's like to have a friendship with God. He says, "I have direction in life. I have my pathway before me lighted up. My life is filled with joy because of your presence." John 15:11, Jesus says this. He says, "I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." He says this right after saying, "I want you to do what I ask you to do, and the result of that is going to be joy." And so we see a direct connection between the gift of joy and obedience to God. 1 Peter 1:8 says, "Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy." And the book of 1 Peter is written to a group of believers in God who were being persecuted. And so the subject of that book is really about suffering. And so Peter says to them, you know, you may not be seeing Jesus face to face right now, but one day you will. One day you will see him. And he says, if you believe in him and if you put your trust in him, you're going to be filled with inexpressible and glorious joy. It's something that you can't even describe until you experience it. Now, if you've experienced God's forgiveness and you've received God's joy, then you know what I'm talking about. But if you've never experienced that and your life isn't just overflowing with joy, and I'm not talking about happiness, the kind of happiness you get, you know, when someone does something nice for you or gives you something, but I'm talking about a joy that can only come from God. If you've never experienced that, I would invite you and I would encourage you at this Christmas season, let this Christmas be the greatest Christmas ever, the time when you receive the gift of joy. Let's look back at our passage. Looking at verse 12 through 14, messenger, the angel, goes on and says, and you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger. Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven praising God and saying, glory to God in highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. This next part, the angels say, this is a great message I'm giving you. It's a message of joy. And here's going to be the sign. The sign is that you're going to come upon a little baby that's been born this night. And that baby is going to be all wrapped up. You know, when a newborn baby in the hospital, they wrap the baby so tight, you know, the baby can't move. And I've heard a lot of fathers say, you know, I could never wrap the baby as tightly as the nurses did. And the answer, of course, is, well, it's because that's your child, and you don't want to wrap your baby as tightly as the nurses do. But they find the baby all snugly wrapped up. And the interesting thing about it, not laying in a crib, not laying in a nice, comfortable bed or receiving room, but in a feeding trough, an animal's feeding trough, right there amongst the hay or grain, whatever else is in there, lying in a manger, that's going to be the sign. So, thinking about babies, Debbie and I went yesterday to register over at Burlington Coat Factory and had a really good time there. That's, you know, I say we had a really good time, but in reality, it was not as fun as we wanted it to be. First of all, we couldn't really get our gun to work. You know, they give you a gun when you go in there to register, right? Not a real gun, but I wished it was. At one point during the whole time, I wished it was a real gun. So they gave us a gun, and we began to, you know, use that thing to aim at the things we wanted and record those things in our registry. And so I would get like three or four things on there, and then I would look at the thing, and it would be like zero items. I'm like, what is going on? So then I would ask the lady, hey, she tells me, you know, oh, yeah, you need to do this and this. Okay, so I get my gun back, go back again. Next thing I pull the trigger at, it says an unregisterable item. So I'm like, okay, do it again, unregisterable item. It keeps happening over and over again. I'm like, what is going on? So I'm back to the lady again. Oh, well, you got to do this and this. Okay, so then back at it again. It was just like endless amounts of times did we go back and ask the lady for help using the registry gun. Maybe it's because it's my first time using it. I mean, does anybody else have trouble with that thing? And maybe that's why the lines are so long in all the grocery stores and department stores, because they're trying to figure out how to use the gun. I don't know what it is, but we walked through there, and we did not know what to get because we've never been parents before. And so we're kind of walking along, and we're looking at stuff, and we're like, well, I think we could use that. It's blue. You know, some stuff we're picking up and looking at, we're just like, what's it for, you know? After a while, I was just scanning anything. I don't care. It's in the baby section. Just scan it. Oh, we had a lot of fun trying to figure all that stuff out. And then after we were all done and everything, then Debbie finds the list that says checklist, baby registry checklist. That was after we'd already exited the store. You know, we're at home. So anyway, these parents of Jesus, they didn't have all that stuff. I mean, think of the humble circumstances. And that was actually a sign that was given, a sign that the greatest thing on earth has happened. Isn't that amazing? Jesus came in such humble circumstance. Well, let's get back to this. The angel says, or the angels begin to sing all together, and it says it's a vast host or an army of angels saying, glory to God in highest heaven and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. And so the second gift that we receive through Christmas is peace. And I want to say this, peace comes to the dependent. Peace comes to the dependent. And why do I use the word dependent? God's gift of peace is not available to people who are independent. People that feel that they don't need any help, people that feel that they don't need God in their lives, God's peace is not available for them. Those people are on their own. And so peace comes to the one that's trusting in God, the one that is fully dependent upon God. I would say it like this: God's gift of peace is available to those who recognize that He's the only one that can give it. He is the only one that can give that gift of peace. And once you realize that, that gift is yours. But you have to reach a point where you realize that you're not going to find peace anywhere else but in God. I mean, you have moments of quietness and moments of stillness or moments of inactivity, but that's not real peace. You're never going to find real peace until you experience a relationship with God. It's just not going to happen. Somebody once said that the only true place that you can find peace here on earth is in the dictionary. And that's true. I looked. It's there. But God's gift of peace is available to those that recognize it. He's the only place that we can get that peace. I found some really cool verses that talk about peace, and I want to share them with you and just elaborate on them a little bit. Psalms 119:165 says, "Those who love your instructions have great peace and do not stumble." That's a part of the whole gift of peace. Now, understand that when Jesus came to earth, the reason that we have joy is because we realize that there's a rescue. We realize that we don't have to stumble through life lost. We realize that when we begin a relationship with Jesus, we're filled with joy because our sadness and our own inability to deal with our sin has been taken away, and God's replaced that with His joy. And the same thing happens with peace. We have peace and contentment like the world has never known, and that comes to us as a gift when we begin a relationship with God. So again, let me just encourage you, if you've never began a relationship with God, I mean, maybe you've attended church before, maybe you've heard people talk about God's peace and talk about having a relationship with God, but if you've never come to a place in your life where you recognize that God is the only one that can give you that peace, I encourage you to do that at this Christmas time. Another great verse, Isaiah 26:3, "You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you and all whose thoughts are fixed on you." I love that verse. It's basically saying that as long as our focus and our attention is on God, we're going to have God's perfect peace. And it's true. The moment you take your eyes off of God, the moment you allow your focus to wander, you get filled with worry and you become discontent and you have a hard time getting along with others. The only way that you can experience the peace of God is if God has your attention and has your focus. Romans 5, verse 1. "Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us." What does it mean to you to be made right in God's sight? That simply means that when God looks at you, He has no reason to condemn you because all your sins, all your guilt is gone. Jesus has taken it away. And my friends, that is true peace, to be free from guilt and sin. Philippians 4:7, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Here, Paul's writing to the Philippians, and he's saying, God's peace is something that can't even be explained by someone who's never experienced it. It is something that's beyond our ability to understand. And the only way you can make any sense of it is to actually experience it for yourself. It's the peace that transcends all understanding. In other words, you know you don't deserve it. You don't know how God is able to give it to you, and you don't know how you ever manage to live without it. And then John 14:27. Jesus says, "I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart, and the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give." It's a gift that's exclusively from God. And so I would invite you, if you've never received God's peace, to go to the only source where you can get joy and peace. There's so much that goes into Christmas, and you're going to be busy, and you're going to be distracted, and there's going to be a lot of things going on, but realize these incredible gifts that God's given us. Joy, handed down to just ordinary people, like me and you, not thinking anything of it, and God invades our life with His joy. Peace that comes only to people that fully depend on God, that have put their trust in God. And I invite you to do that if you've never done that. Light of the world.
You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com. You filled our hearts.